We are on a mission to help lawyers and law firm owners maximize wealth and achieve financial independence. Welcome to The Lawyer Millionaire with Darren Wirtz from Wirtz Financial Services. In this podcast, we will help you build wealth, minimize your taxes, and plan for retirement with money management strategies designed for the legal profession. Join us in this journey where we help you manage your money so you can make the most of your future. Start feeling confident in knowing you are well prepared for retirement and on track to financial independence. Now onto the show.
Hello and welcome to another installment of The Lawyer Millionaire. I'm your host, Darren Wirtz. How do you seamlessly step from the world of full-time parenting into entrepreneurship and building a successful law firm from the ground up? It sounds like a daring journey, doesn't it? Well, today we have the privilege of embarking on that journey today as we delve into the remarkable story of a law firm owner and entrepreneur who has shattered boundaries and transitioned from mom to mogul. I am thrilled to welcome Vanessa Vasquez to our show. Vanessa stands as a testament to dynamic women who juggle being a mom and an entrepreneur while molding a legal powerhouse. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Darren. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you here today. As we were talking in the intro, I have seen the stuff you do, your website, I've looked into your firm. You've built a great business, a great practice. And I want to hear all about it. I know our audience wants to hear all about it. So let's start at the beginning and tell us about your journey from mom to mogul.
Thank you so much, Darren. So I've now been practicing for about 20 years. I got barred in 03, so it's been a minute now. And when I actually got married Thanksgiving before I graduated in December of 02, so family was always something that was sort of integral to me and integral to what I knew my future career was going to look like. It wasn't something where I sort of started and then realized like, oh, wait, no, I don't want to do it this way. It was sort of an intentional journey where I knew that, you know, that my husband and my future family were going to need to seamlessly connect together with my desire to lawyer. So my first few jobs were great. They were with smaller firms that, you know, that there was a lot of flexibility and a lot of that kind of ability to juggle, you know, work and life. But as I had my second son, and the boys are now 18 and 15, as I had my second one, I really realized that I wanted to devote, you know, myself full time to that. And although I thought it was going to be a very short sort of journey, you know, just kind of like first few months, maybe 6 months to kind of like, you know, really give it my all, that sort of transitioned into, well, here comes a year and then another year and then a third year. And I ended up staying home with them until they started K-3 and K-5. So about give or take 3 years.
Okay.
So that was a really, really fun, stressful, overwhelming time. But it was, you know, it was wonderful. And I really appreciate that our family was able to do that for the kids. And once I'd been out for that long, I kind of didn't really feel like starting over and starting again with another firm. So I just kind of said, you know what, let's just, you know, let's see what we can do and let's see what we can make happen.
Yeah.
So I started going just one day a week to an office. Between the hours, the boys were in school part-time, so they got in one at 8, one at 8:30, and then they got out one at 12, one at 12:30. So basically, I was working between 9 and 11:30. But it was a great transition year, and it kind of helped me to, you know, gain that confidence that, yes, I can actually open a brand new family law firm, and I can definitely make this happen. So, you know, here we are. It's going on 12 years already. So,
yeah.
You know, and we've built something with 25 people, and, you know, it's really been an amazing journey.
Yeah, that's so incredible. So you just went out on your own. You're going to work part-time. And from that to now, tell us about your firm now. And what were some of the initial steps that you took to really start building that?
Sure. So our firm now has 6 associates that I'm still sort of the managing partner. So I'm still in, making sure that I am assisting all of our attorneys with, you know, with their strategy and all that, since I am the most experienced attorney. And we've got, you know, a great team of support, from scheduling assistant to filing assistant to receptionists, that are making sure that our clients are being, you know, sort of handled and managed the right way, to a great intake team, to a marketing team, to we really have run the gamut.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, we were able to transition to bring in my husband, who's not an attorney. He's actually an engineer. And we were able to transition him out of corporate world and bring him in as our COO. So he's sort of managing anything that's not related to legal.
Wow. Okay, listen up, audience. COO in legal. I love this. And I love that you're bringing in non-legal professionals to assist in some of those non-legal areas. I think that's really, really fantastic. So you've done a lot here. Where did this business acumen come from? Because a lot of law firm owners struggle with this. They want to wear all, you know, they wear all the hats and they're doing all the things. Was this innate for you, or did you learn this from somewhere?
It was definitely not innate. A lot of it is trial and error. You try something and, you know, if it doesn't work, you try something else. I am for being an attorney, I am not a perfectionist who feels that I must know 100% exactly how this will work before I will try it. Mm. I'm very much open to, let's see how it goes. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, then we'll try something else. I find that a lot of attorneys, unfortunately, kind of have that. Only I can do it. Only I can do it as well as it needs to be done. Only I can do it perfect. And I thankfully don't suffer from that.
That's
so
good.
I've been willing to delegate. I've been willing to try things. I've been willing to, you know, to really sort of put myself out there in a way that a lot of attorneys don't. Otherwise, I mean, my background in college was in business. So, you know, a little bit of that, you know, has been useful. But a lot of it has been asking questions and good coaching. I've been involved with How to Manage a Small Law Firm, which is a national coaching and C-suite company, mm-hmm. for going on 8 years already. And, you know, I love them. It's been able to teach me what I try to tell my clients, which is, you don't know what you don't know. And they've been able to show me what I don't know, so that I can then, you know, work on getting up to speed on the knowledge that I want to have. So kind of that constant figuring out, talking to people who are doing it better, and, you know, and sharing also what we've been able to do. I love talking to new firm owners, especially new family law firm owners and younger women firm owners that, you know, I didn't have that network. You know, I had a lot of, you know, professional friends that did what I did, but it's hard to ask those deep questions like, well, how are you marketing yourself? How are you getting out there? How are you doing these things? So I love to be a support and have that, provide that networking for other firm owners, because the reality is that it's a close-knit community, the legal community, no matter how many attorneys we have.
Yeah.
And being able to, you know, to contribute to that community, I feel, is really important.
Yes, very cool. So, you know, you've mentioned some great things here. And I'm curious how you have grown as a business owner, like in terms of your perspective, in terms of how you think about things. What are some big lessons that you've learned along the way as you've scaled and grown your practice?
I find that the most important thing that I've discovered along this journey really is how important good people are, mm-hmm. and how important it is to pour into your team. The sort of the driving factor that we try to remember all the time in our firm is that we are building a culture where people want to go to work, where people want to be here. And I find that's really important, not only for law firms in general, since we, you know, we hear so many bad things about lawyers and law firms, but if you're a happy lawyer, you're just going to be a better lawyer. And if the firm that you're at is meeting your needs, is meeting your, you know, your is filling your cup, then you can then in turn turn around and do that as well for your clients, especially family law clients that are so, this is such an emotional time. It's it's rare where we have a client that's sort of like, yeah, I gotta get this done. Can you follow some paperwork for me? This is, it's not a, you know, a dispassionate contract negotiation. I birthed your baby and you're leaving me kind of thing. So it's really a, can be very emotional. And family lawyers also tend to be a big breed of lawyers that gets burnt out because when you're carrying that emotional load for your, you know, for your clients, that becomes, you know, really tough. So we've worked really hard to try to make sure that we are creating a place where people want to be. Virtually and non, about half our team is virtual. We are constantly trying to, you know, to find those things that will make our, you know, our staff happy. And sometimes it's little things. Our front desk receptionist will walk downstairs to Starbucks and pick up everybody's orders. And other times it's big things. Like we have a, we actually hired a nanny. To come into our office, and she is a nanny for two associate babies, because I find, and I know, you know, as a as an attorney for over 20 years, that the when people have kids, that is a big time to step off the career, especially women that, you know, feel that they don't want to leave a, you know, a 3-month-old with somebody else or in a daycare.
Yeah.
So I wanted to facilitate that for, you know, for our associates. So we brought in a nanny, we converted an office into a nursery, and now they don't have to worry about, you know, their babies being in a daycare, being at home with a stranger. They're in the office, and, you know, when they take a break during the day, they go, they get to snuggle with their babies, then they get to go back to work, and it's a lot less stressful, it's a lot less, you know, difficult for them, and as an added bonus, I get to snuggle babies. I mean, it's a win-win-win.
Yeah.
So, you know, those kind of things are, it's spending money, but it's not a particularly expensive, you know, endeavor. And it's making our, you know, our associates better, more comfortable, happier. And that in turn means that they're able to serve our clients better. So yeah. My biggest, biggest lesson is your people. You're only as good as your people.
Yeah, that is so cool. I love that idea. And you're right. It's so often the non-financial things that employees really are looking for and are the difference makers. You know, people will sometimes take a pay cut to go somewhere else if they're not happy.
Yep.
I mean, they will. So yeah, that is really a great idea. I love it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, you've had great success. I'm sure that, however, the journey has had its bumps along the road. I'm curious, as you look back on this journey, what's been maybe the most difficult moment for you in the growth of your practice?
So I would say that probably, you know, I'm very much a glass half full kind of person, which is interesting because my husband, who now runs all the things, is a glass half empty kind of person. So we really balance each other out. So I tend to sort of have a very optimistic view on everything, and you know, but I would say that probably the biggest struggle just comes back to people. You know, when you end up losing good people, whether because they don't want to do family law anymore or, you know, for any other personal reasons, that's always a, you know, a struggle, especially for smaller firms. I mean, at this point, it's you know, the reality is that if I lose an associate, you know what, there's five more to be able to help pick up the slack. But when you only have one associate or two and you lose one, I mean, that means that your workload just went up by 50%. So, you know, and I think that that's also helped to be the catalyst for trying to make sure that we are, you know, being better employers and better, you know, better business owners to make sure that, you know, that we don't sort of feel that pinch of, oh my goodness, we have team members leaving and now, you know, we have to kind of figure out how to ramp up. So I would probably say that those tend to be the bigger challenges, you know, the keeping good people and making sure that you kind of are able to bounce back when you lose good people. Sometimes it takes a while to find that right fit. And you always want to make sure that you're attracting the right fit, repelling the wrong fit. So, you know, I think that people, again, is at the heart of everything we do, the good and the bad.
Well, yeah, you know, your business is your people and very much. It's a collection of people that are working together for a common goal. I mean, that's the definition of a company. So
100%.
You're very, very correct there. I'm curious, in the growth of your practice, you know, a lot of law firm owners that I work with struggle with trying to get to a certain point. And, you know, it's like, if I could just grow a little bit more, I want to get to this point. But then the problem is that goalpost keeps moving a little bit further out and further out. Was there a moment in your career where you're like, okay, I've made it, I've arrived here? Or, you know, how has that been for you?
So I would probably say that I'm kind of there now. And the only reason for that is because since January 1st, I've been telling everybody in conversations that I'm out of production. I'm out of production. And I'm not 100% out, but as I repeat it,
yeah.
That will, you know, and I'm definitely not on any more trial calendars. I'm not on, you know, any more, you know, extensive hearing calendars. And I am continuing to train my associates to make sure that they feel confident and comfortable, you know, stepping into that role. But that kind of feels a little bit more revolutionary, I think, to no longer. And the thing is that I was in court on a trial December 22nd, which, if you'll recall, was a Friday, right after having eye surgery. And I remember thinking that Friday, like, no, this cannot, no, this is not a seven-figure firm owner job. No.
Yeah.
So, you know, so ultimately I'm really working hard on, you know, trial training my attorneys. Even had an all-day, you know, in-house training a few weeks ago where I'm basically just sort of trying to pour out, you know, that knowledge. And a lot of things, it's just, you know, how long I've been practicing or how long I've been an adult. You know, not even, you know, things that are specifically legal knowledge, like this is how you question and this is how you, that kind of training you can buy, you know, you can sign up for, you know, for trial advocacies and all that. But a lot of the smaller things that can help our attorneys sort of think, you know, like people who've had kids, even though they don't have kids, or, you know, that help them to think about corporate issues, even though they've never worked corporate, or, you know, all those little things, you know, and that's something that we are continuing to plan to do, those kind of trainings to make sure that I'm helping them to be, you know, as good as I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So I would say that's probably now.
Yeah. Great. And so you have kind of a new challenge here that's different. And how do you kind of replace yourself in your practice and move into more of that leadership position? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that kind of where you're aiming to go? And what does the future look like for you as it relates to your practice and other things that you want to do?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of my favorite things that, you know, about being a business owner is the networking. I am a people person. I do find my happiness in at events and networking and lunches and coffees. And so that's something that, you know, that I've definitely been growing. I'm the president of one of our local bar associations, the Coral Gables Bar Association. And so I've been, you know, once I took on that role last summer, I've been also trying to make sure that I'm connecting with our members and asking them what, you know, what can the Coral Gables Bar do for you? So that's something that, you know, it sort of has been helping to create that transition where I could see myself out of production and I didn't see myself just as, like you mentioned, you know, providing leadership to my team too, but also sort of becoming a more connected and a more connecting leader in our community as well.
Yeah, very cool. It's very cool getting out there and meeting people and promoting your firm and your business. Absolutely. You know, on this show, we deal with money. We're the Lawyer Millionaire. You mentioned having a COO. I'm curious, do you have a CFO as well? And what are like some... Do you have certain systems in place for managing the business financials that have been successful for you?
So, like I mentioned earlier, with How to Manage, they have coaching and they have C-suite services. So we've been, you know, using their C-suite services for a long time. You know, different positions as the needs of the firm changed, including previously a COO, previously a CEO, previously a CFO as well. So we've definitely, you know, have that. They've helped us to develop our money management. We currently use a bookkeeping company that is an offshoot of How to Manage called Bookkeeping That Doesn't Suck. And the great thing about, you know, that company is that you get a 40-page financial report on all of the financials of the business, including, you know, most bookkeepers kind of give you maybe like a profit and loss and a balance sheet and sort of like a, you know, kind of like a very small overview of, you know, of what you kind of need to know and what you think to ask them. Mm-hmm. But the reports that we actually get from bookkeeping are great because they're showing us comparisons to month to month. They're showing us comparisons year to date. They're showing us comparisons to this month last year. We also, you know, had previously worked with our CFO on our budget. And so now, you know, we were able to complete our budget for, you know, for this year. Bookkeeping loads our budget so we can, you know, we get a budget variance report every month. So we're really able to stay on top of, you know, those important numbers, like what are we spending on labor? What are we spending on marketing? What are we spending on, you know, everything? And at the end, what's the profit? Because nobody wants to work a business with no profit.
Right, right. These are questions I'm sure you were not necessarily thinking about too much in the very beginning, but yeah, as things evolve, these are definitely larger things that need to be thought of. Yeah.
In the beginning, I was looking at, so when I first started, it was like, is there some money in the bank? And I take some of that money out.
Yeah.
I think so. Then I like to say that, you know, once I started working, you know, with a CPA and all that, you know, the standard recommendation is put yourself on payroll. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to sign up for payroll. And then it was like the thought of a very weird kind of thing that I really like, or on the other hand, dislike, is biweekly paychecks. I don't know who invented that, but your bills don't come biweekly.
Yeah.
Mortgages do at a certain time and something else is doing it. Nothing comes biweekly.
No.
So my firm pays bimonthly. We pay on the 1st and on the 15th. Because you know, like that way you can divide your stuff, the first half of the month, the second half of the month.
Yeah.
So, you know, so in the beginning it was kind of like, hey, what was one Friday? How do I make some money? I gotta make some calls. I gotta issue some bills. So, you know, we went from managing the business by simply looking at the bank balance, mm-hmm, to managing the business, you know, and other ways of making sure that we're looking at what's our cash flow, what's our, you know, our labor costs is substantial. So gotta make sure that there's money in the bank to hey, you know, all of our team. Yeah. So it's definitely changed a lot the way that, you know, that we run the company by making sure that we're looking at those finances, looking at that budget, looking at what are we able to do? How did we hit our numbers? How do we not? Budgeting, saving for a rainy day, making sure that we've got access to credit. We actually have two lines of credit, which are currently empty. We haven't needed them, but you're always told, you know, the wise have always told us, make sure that you get the credit when you don't need it, because
that's right.
If you need it, you can't get it.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we've made sure to take those steps to maintain liquidity and, you know, and sort of be prepared for any rainy days.
Absolutely. Oh, this is great, because these are all things I talk about so much with lots of law firm owners and struggle points. Often liquidity being a big one, a part of that. So many people I talk with are just running razor thin margins, don't have anything stashed away, and paying yourself. So critical. One of the big struggles I see among some law firm owners I speak with is that there's the difficulty separating the personal and the business. And as a result, there's money flowing back and forth, right? I'm taking money out of the firm because I have a big expense I need to pay personally. And then I'm putting money back into the firm because, oops, the firm's coffers are running out.
Darren, as a family attorney, I've seen people put child support on their taxes as a business expense.
Oh my goodness.
Not a lawyer, but I have seen all manner of what you speak of.
Wow. They tried it.
I hope they never get audited. I can tell you that the judge that started that trial was not too happy with that company. And my poor client is like, I'm just a minority shareholder. I have no control over but thankfully we were able to, you know, to kind of like bring that case back from the dead after the judge was super upset about that.
What?
So yeah, so we definitely see it, and it's so important to make sure that you have yourself on a regular cadence. Nobody wants to live thinking, am I going to have enough money to pay my bills this month? And then, you know, we've used it as a catalyst to help us to think bigger, to think, what do we want to be? What is the house we want to live in? What's the car we want to drive? What's the school we want our kids to go to? What's the college we want to be able to pay for our kids? My husband and I are both kids of immigrants. We both moved here in, you know, elementary, middle school age.
Wow.
And so knowing and kind of like helping to, you know, to create some of those bigger goals of what, you know, you always try to do better than your parents. So that's also kind of helped to keep that momentum going of, you know, what's our next thing? What's our next step? So,
yeah, very cool. Very cool. Good stuff. Well, Vanessa, as we think about others, you mentioned you have a passion for helping and talking to, you know, younger lawyers. Quickly, would you share with us maybe some advice that you might pass on to younger law firm owners that are getting started and wanting to grow?
Absolutely. The biggest piece of advice I can give any attorney, new or not new, is don't do it all. You need to figure out what you are best at, whether that's networking, whether that's production, whether that's, you know, whatever that might be. And then you need to hire, even if it's, you know, even if you think you can afford it. It's, you know, I did a talk many years ago when Avo used to do their lawyernomics. Mm-hmm. And I did a talk where I talked about how every time I hired somebody, our income doubled.
Oh.
And, you know, and small numbers, it's easy to double, but it's, you know, but the lesson really carried, because something that, you know, how to manage also helped me to see. And if you are answering your phone, you're working for $15 an hour.
Yes.
If you are the firm's paralegal, you're working for $25 an hour. If you are the firm's bookkeeper, you're working for $20 an hour. And all of those roles, you know, can be outsourced even on very part-time basis. And it will allow you to do what you do best, which is be a lawyer and charge $300-$500 an hour, rainmake and bring in cases that are worth $5,000-$20,000. So you shouldn't spend your time doing the smaller tasks. And it's crazy to me how often I hear, oh no, but I can't. Like, trust me, in a pinch, if you were in the hospital and you needed to step out for 2 weeks, you'd figure it out. You'd find somebody. You'd do it. Yeah. You'd get it done. And how much better is it to do it, onboard somebody, find the right person, bring them on. And with, we now have a global talent, available at our fingertips that we didn't envision before COVID. COVID was terrible, but there have been, especially for the legal field, I feel, so many amazing things that have come out of there, from being able to do 5-minute hearings from your office and not, spending an hour and a half in Miami traffic to get to court to, doing mediations where clients are in other states by Zoom, to recruiting and finding and using amazing global bilingual talent that is able to help our firm really move forward. And, I have to give a shout out to Get Staffed Up, who is the company owned by my good friend, Red Tremblay, who helped us to see that future of global talent and being able to bring in team members that we now have people from Argentina, Colombia, Mexico, and El Salvador working at our firm and helping our clients.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Vanessa, it's all about the money, but it's not all about the money. There is a bigger purpose behind all the things that we do. So I'm curious about you and your bigger purpose. What is your millionaire mission?
So connected to our firm, we are looking to help 20,000 families in the next, that's kind of our 20-year goal. But, who knows, if we grow big enough, that might end up sort of, moving sooner. On a personal note, I'm looking to help my kids, fly the nest. I've got a sophomore and a senior. So, they're close to starting. Yeah. When I moved out from home, that first year of college. And so I'm trying to make sure that I'm helping them to have that foundation that I know that. That don't need to be successful, going forward. I'm a Christian, and I am constantly looking for ways to build God's kingdom, whether in our local church or internationally. We've contributed to quite a few different ministries all over the world, to see the gospel, shared. Hmm. And, lastly, I lost my little brother a few years ago, and we started a foundation called the Supreme Scholars Foundation to honor his memory and give scholarship to deserving kids. So that's something that also helps to push us forward.
Yeah. Very, very nice things. Great, inspiring goals. I love that you shared all those things. And I'm sure your kids will do fantastically well. They have a wonderful role model to learn from. Great. Well, Vanessa, we've come to the end of our time here. Would you please share with our audience where they can go to learn more about you or to get in touch with you if they'd like to?
Absolutely. Anybody wants to connect with me personally, my email address is Vanessa@familylawprotection.com. Our website is familylawprotection.com. And there you can see videos, FAQs, all of our team, and schedule a free case evaluation if you need help with a local South Florida family law case. And you can always check us out on all the social media channels. I love educating, our potential and not potential clients about things that are going on in family law. And you can see those videos on our Facebook, where I live, because I'm a Facebook girl, as well as Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, where you found us. So.
Very good. Well, that brings us to the end of another enriching episode of The Lawyer Millionaire. Vanessa, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your journey and your insights with us.
Thanks for having me, Darren.
Yeah. And to our listeners, I'm sure Vanessa's story has left you with countless takeaways, fresh perspectives, and a renewed sense of possibilities that await you in both your professional and personal journeys. If you're ready to embrace your financial potential as a law firm owner, remember, I'm here to help. Whether it's dissecting complex financial concepts or crafting your own personalized financial roadmap, I'm just a call away. So book a call with me, your host, Darren Wirtz. The link is in the show notes. And together, let's bring clarity to your finances and help you navigate your path from profitable practice to personal wealth. If this episode resonated with you, please subscribe to The Lawyer Millionaire. Also, if you could take a moment and leave us a review, it would make a world of difference and help us spread the word to reach more individuals who could benefit from these discussions. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and I hope to see you next time again on The Lawyer Millionaire.
Thank you for listening to The Lawyer Millionaire. Click the follow button below to be notified when new episodes become available. This content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. This content is not intended to represent investing or tax advice. Always seek the advice of a qualified investment or tax advisor with any questions you may have regarding your own financial circumstances.